This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Of course, this is the third anniversary of the terrorist attacks that killed more than 3,000 people on a single morning in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the plane that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There may come a time when Americans hear the date, September 11th, and regard it as just another day on the calendar, but probably not for many years. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Hello, Dan.
Hello there, Scott. Yes, it is a very special and very gloomy kind of holiday. When you think back to what it was like on September 10th, 3 years ago, and how things have changed since. For me, the first thing I think of is that I have to take off my shoes when I go through an airport. No longer can I come 10 minutes before the plane leaves. But it really is more than that. It is a sense that the world isn't really our world anymore, that we have to worry about whether there'll be other incidents of that kind, which have happened in many other parts of the world, and yet there has been no significant episode of terrorism in the United States since September 11th. There have been, of course, in many, many other parts of the world, and nobody feels that we're out of the woods in this country. And that's how it is today. It's a day to remember, and I agree with you, it'll be a long time before people will think of it as another, just another day.
Mm-hmm. What significance do you read to the fact that there has not been a terrorist attack on the soil of the United States for the past 3 years? Is this a moment to congratulate intelligence agencies who often say they don't get credits for the plot that they uncover?
The only trouble is they have to do this with your fingers crossed. I don't think anybody knows why we have been free of terrorist incidents for these 3 years. Nobody knows why suddenly it'll be Australians in Jakarta or any other country. I think one of the hardest things to do is to try to figure out what goes on in the mind of terrorists, and I won't try. It may also be that there have been measures taken which have increased the sense of security. We do pay in time spent in the airport, but maybe because of the time we spent in the airport trying to get through, maybe the terrorists have been warned off. I don't know. I mean, and anybody who tries to read the minds of Osama bin Laden, good luck.
Mm-hmm. As you note, there have been other attacks all over the world over the past 3 years. Yes. In other areas of the world. I think certainly most notably people remember the train station in Spain, right. Of course, Bali, Kenya, the Philippines. And then most recently, over the past week and a half, of course, a series of attacks in Russia, the downing of two planes, an attack at a Moscow subway station, and then I think most difficult for most people to accept and endure was the school that was fired up by terrorists in the south of Russia. Now, without necessarily connecting them or fixing responsibility in the same group or group of people, what are we talking about here? A worldwide movement that, in a sense, is thematic according to ideology or according to tactics or even technology?
Well, President Bush said after September 11th that we are faced with an international conspiracy of terrorism, and that it is global. I don't know how much it's interconnected, whether they meet back and forth, but it certainly is true that a kind of a cult of violence has come about in these past few years. And a lot of it seems to be the work of Islamic militants, some of it perhaps not. Russia is an interesting problem. It changes the ball game a little bit. The United States has been pushing Russia to negotiate with the Chechens in order to give them some form of independence. President Putin doesn't like that. Now he's in a position to say, we join you in being victims of terrorism. We don't want you to bother us anymore about negotiating with these people. How would you like to be negotiating with Osama bin Laden for that example? And the result of that is that our international relations are affected by this, and we have to begin looking at Russia in a whole new light.
Mm-hmm. It must be said that the Chechens themselves feel victims of terrorism, much of it inflicted by the Russian army over the past few years.
Yes, I'm not trying to take sides in this terrible struggle that's been going on. That's right. Even when I was in the Soviet Union and working there, we always talked about the poor persecuted Chechens and Ossetians and what was happening down in the Caucasus. But now the situation is, Putin said to a group of American and Western people who were there last week that we expect you to support us as you asked us to support you after September 11th.
I have to ask you about the political campaign that is unfolding now, and specifically a statement that Vice President Dick Cheney delivered this past Tuesday in Des Moines, Iowa.
It's absolutely essential that 8 weeks from today, on November 2nd, we make the right choice. Because if we make the wrong choice, then the danger is that we'll get hit again, that we'll be hit in a way that will be devastating from the standpoint of the United States, and that we'll fall back into the pre-9/11 mindset, if you will, that in fact these terrorist attacks are just criminal acts and that we're not really at war. I think that would be a terrible mistake for us.
Was he explicitly saying that if Senator Kerry is elected, the United States will be attacked again?
Yes, it's what he was saying. I don't know if he meant it. I don't know if he meant to say something else. It really is tragic how terrorism in the past 3 years, as though we don't have enough problems with terrorism, that terrorism comes to color the way people speak in an election campaign. You know, usually around this time, they'd say, well, foreign policy problems, but the election is going to hinge on pocketbook questions, economic questions, and a question of whether we get help from one or the other. And the idea that in this age, it is going to be terrorism, and who can scare the American people by saying, as Cheney in fact said, that you vote for the wrong people and you're going to get more terrorism, that's tragic.
Mm-hmm. Now, your repertory experience goes back to World War II, where, of course, there was the menace of Hitler and Mussolini and the Imperial Japanese, and the McCarthy period, and the Cold War period, where we forget the 1960 presidential election was held after the U-2 was downed
right
over the Soviet Union and Communist China, as we then called it, was threatening
1956, the election was held when there was an invasion of Suez going on and then a crushing of the Hungarian uprising. That was in 1956, and President Eisenhower managed to weather that.
And said 1960 Communist China was threatening Kamoi and Matsu. Do the American people in an election year put the fear they have of some outside force in one place and focus on that to the exception of all others, or is that just one more issue that from which they make a judgment?
It's an interesting and important question, and I think we'll have to wait and see. I myself am surprised at how the polls indicate that safety, security of the American people seems to dominate the election campaign more than the issues that you thought they would. And so whether that is just a thing of the moment and Americans will go back to being Americans, saying, I want my country to be on the right track, I want somebody to pay my health premiums, and we'll worry later about Iraq and all of that, that may happen, but I don't know it when.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.